49. About 25 years ago, I had a whole, about 4 days where I could not quit laughing over nothing. It was a quite an experience. It was God. That was before laughing was popular. And then about 3 weeks ago, or about a week ago, I've been having these times where I just weep. It's a good weeping. It's a cleansing. So if I do that, you just, I'm all right. You don't need to check me into a mental institution. I'm just enjoying God's wonderful. What'd you say? There's a reason the Bible said, let why women keep. Sister Nichols, I said that she might as well have preached my message this morning because it was right on track. If you open your Bibles, please, to Psalms 145. I want to talk about worship and praise. That's necessary in your private life, in the church's life, collectively. Before we read our text, I've noticed in years of studying the Bible that when God chose to reveal himself in a greater way, you'll find that somewhere in that story that worship or praise took place. Sometimes the worship and praise took place before he did something great, and then there are times when the worship took place after he did something great. It's been said that praise is when you talk about what God has done, and worship is about who he is. They're both good. Trying to separate them is like trying to separate the soul and the spirit. Greek words are often interchangeable. But worship is where we just worship for who he is, and then praise is for what he's done. Sometimes they get even interchanged. But before something often has happened, as Sister Nichols said, worship takes place. And then, sometimes, worship takes place after he did something great. Moses, when God got ready to use him, he had the encounter with the burning bush. But you remember what God told him? He said, you take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. What made the ground holy was a holy God. And in fact, he was working in Moses an attitude about God and worship, and he's holy. Worship always leads to his holiness if it's true worship. And when you see how holy he is, you'll see how unholy you are. And you will, like Isaiah, say, woe is me, and God takes, he got a lot of coals on that altar that he came and touched Isaiah. But even in that story, before God revealed himself to Isaiah, worship was taking place. It wasn't taking place by Isaiah, it was by the angels who were crying, holy, holy, holy. Jesus said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. It's been said that the priest in the tabernacle were barefoot because of it being a holy place with a holy God. Jesus Somebody asked me one time, did Jesus ever worship the Father? You really don't find it anywhere in Scripture except one place, where in St. John, the fourth chapter, where he was talking to the woman at the well, and Jesus said, us Jews know who we worship. Well, Jesus was a Jew. And therefore, he was talking about he being a Jew, he worshiped his Father. And you know that Jesus was God because he often was worshiped in the New Testament. And he didn't say, no, don't worship me. He was God. Had a couple articles I was going to read, but we'll get them at another time. It was about a woman who said that she was lacking joy in her Christian life. Said she'd lived for God 42 years. But then God began to talk to her, and she, from her own personal testimony, said she realized she had needed to improve on her worship. And when she really began to honestly seek God and worship him, joy came. Each person's experience is different. How many have seen on TV these hoses advertised? Boy, I got a smell. I saw it on TV and it said you'd get them at Home Depot. I wanted one for out here. I don't know if we'll be able to use it, Joe, but they 50 foot and they shrink back up. So I went to Home Depot and I said, I hear you got these hoses. And they said, we're sold out, but we'll have them in tomorrow. So I went yesterday and the fella said, well, we're out, but he said, people are returning them. He said, we've been having a problem with a few. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, if you turn on the water too fast, he said, they pop. Well, we don't want them popping. But he said, not all of them pop. But he said, if you turn it on slow, they won't pop. I said, I got a few people I'd like to talk to. I had a lady one time come up to me and say, you know, you take a while before you get wound up. I don't want you to pop. Brother Mark Armstrong, my late friend, I always remember you talk about a slow preacher. He was anointed, no question. He preached here. He'd get up and he'd pause around and you'd think, well, say something. And he was slow. But he said to me one time, he says, I don't know where they get this idea. If you talk fast, you're anointed. I said, you're right. I said, you must be related to Catherine Kuhlman. We were really good friends. Friends like that, who needs enemies? Let's take a look at Psalms 145. David said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor and thy majesty of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Now look at this one. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You know, the Psalms begins. Praise the Lord. I spilled some water. For I electrocute myself with that light. I think the pulpit wants one. The Psalms, the very first verse, please take a note that he said, I will bless thy name forever and ever. And the last verse, he uses that combination.
Oh, yeah.
Don't make it worse than it is. He begins with, I will bless his name. But I want you to see, as he gets into this praise, and this is how this thing works. He changes his language, and he starts with, I will bless, but he ends with, all need to bless. And he starts with, I will bless thy name, but you'll notice as he got into it, and his praise and his worship led him to realize that the Lord is holy. And he says that at the end of the Psalms, he declares how God is holy. He doesn't start off that way, but he realizes this thing is not just for me. This thing is for all. And then he said in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy. There's something about when you worship God, if you're really drawing nigh to him, you're going to see he's a holy God. And the more you praise him, the better you get at it. And it begins, as I said, with I and blessed, and ends with all. It begins with praise thy name. It ends with bless his holy name. There is something about when you draw nigh to God and you worship him. Not just as Jesus rebuked, why is it you draw nigh to me with your mouths, but your hearts are far from me. But when you do draw nigh to him with your heart in it, and you get closer to him, you know the greatest remedy to get people to get closer to one another is to get closer to God. If you get people to love God and to get closer to God, it will automatically cause you to get closer to one another. For instance, if, say, God was right standing down here, if all of you came, as you got closer to him, you're getting closer to each other. And so, no wonder the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And it will result in you getting closer to one another. If you're getting away from people, then you may not be getting closer to God. You'll be aware of his holiness. Worship begins, and the more you do, you begin to be aware of the awesome holiness of God. In the book of Revelation, that is known much for praise and worship, Revelation, he talks about the four beasts. Each had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Very few times does the scriptures repeat something three times, but holiness about God is repeated three times, which was, which is, and is to come. He talks about in heaven the 24 elders that fall down before him, that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth. And he uses the same language that David did, forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. And they sang, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. And they are and were created. You know, we were made for His pleasure. And nothing brings Him greater pleasure than when you are worshiping Him and adoring Him. Jesus said, The Father seeketh such to worship Him, and they that worship Him must do so in spirit and in truth. It must be real. It must be sincere from the heart. That's why you were made. If you ever catch yourself saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just start worshiping Him. That's what He wants you to do. And for we were made for His pleasure. There's an old proverb said, a man that's wrapped up in himself is a very small package. True worship has a way of causing you to be less of the focal point, but God becomes the focal point, and you begin to become God-conscious. There is a self-consciousness, but it is one that, as John said, He must increase and I must decrease. And you realize it's about God and His greatness. And there's something about praise and worship that takes you into His presence, that you realize His greatness is forever and ever and ever. And the more you praise Him, the more you will get to know Him. The more you worship Him, and that intimacy that was described this morning, the more you will get to know Him. Isaiah's revelation of God was birthed out of worshiping angels. Wasn't himself worshiping, but Isaiah saw these angels. It does say in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah 6. You see, the first five chapters, Isaiah is saying, woe to you, and woe to you, and woe to you. But then when he got in the presence of God, by the angels worshiping the Lord, singing, holy, holy, holy. And then Isaiah, he turned the woe to others to woe to himself. And he saw the holiness of God. Oh, when you really get into His presence, you will be aware of just how holy He is. No wonder Jesus said, they that worship Him must do so in spirit and in truth. He says, I saw the Lord high and sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. It was that train that it was the woman with the issue of blood touched as she received healing. If you were to say, what do you see, Isaiah? What are you shaking about? What are you all getting down on the ground for? Isaiah would say, I see seraphims. And each one of these angels have six wings, and two of the wings are covering their face as though God is too great to look upon. And two were over their feet, covering their sinfulness on this. Yet angels are not sinful, but recognizing their humility before God. And you see, Isaiah is being taught the greatness of holiness of God. And no wonder he said, woe is me. True worship will make God great and holy. Worship will often lead to repentance. Worship, you realize, He's real. When I was a brand new convert, I loved the fact that I was just going around pinching myself saying, God is real. He's real. And especially when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew He was real before, but boy, that really was something that it was huge in my life, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit where I spoke in tongues. That was That was unbelievable to me. I took a trip north, and I wanted to witness to some friends. And in fact, I was on a, this was my second trip north on a preaching journey, and I didn't have a Sunday night I was preaching, so I pulled into this church, and I wanted to go worship the Lord. And when I went in, it was a little Pentecostal church. I'm a little embarrassed I did this, but it came from honesty in my heart at the time. They started to worship the Lord, and I understand they had a visiting evangelist, and he got up and he started preaching away and getting people excited, and he said, "I'm going to have a prayer line. And everybody that has something wrong with you, you come in this prayer line." Well, at the time, I didn't think I had anything wrong with me. I was being honest. And they got somebody over on the piano, and they started playing, and people were worshiping, and he would pray for them. And I mean this in all due respect, but he would hold them, and he'd pray, and they were singing and clapping and carrying on, and he'd get to rocking, and he'd say, "Name of Jesus," and he'd throw them down. And they were enjoying it, and I was enjoying it to a point. And they'd be down there on the ground for a while, and they're all in line, and I'm the only one that's not in line. And there, and after he would do that, every one of them, he did that. He'd get to praying, and he'd get to rocking with them, and then he'd throw them down. And they'd go down, and they had good attitudes, probably better than mine. And then they would get up, and they'd go back in the line again for seconds. And I don't know if he was irritated that I didn't get in line, but he grabbed the microphone, and the music is playing. He said, "God's moving up here, and boy, people are being slain in the spirit, and everybody ought to be up here." Well, I can take a hint. So I thought, I don't want to cause problems, so I went ahead and went up there. But you must understand, there was something that when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I began to distinguish when it was God and when it wasn't God. And I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but there's something in me that said, listen, I know going down under the power of God is real, but I didn't appreciate the fact of him throwing him down. And because it cheapens it when it is real. And so on the same token, I'm trying to have a good attitude, and so they're singing, they're carrying on, and I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to let them throw me down? Now, so far, I've never gone down under the power at that time, but I knew it was real. My mother went down one time. She was down one Sunday morning, and the people were there, and you heard this, whoo. And I thought, who's that? And I looked, there's my mother. I mean, just they caught her, and she's down there having a wonderful time. So when it came time to me, and they're all singing and worshiping and praising the Lord, there's in my heart that says, God, I want it real. I want it real. And yeah, on the same token, I don't want to be a pain in the head. I know what you were thinking I was going to say. And so when he grabbed me, I'm smiling. And finally, as he starts to pray, and here come the rocking, I knew it was coming. I reached my arm up around him, and I grabbed on. And he kind of is getting loud, and then he started getting kind of quiet, and I leaned up his ear, and I said these words, "If I go it down, you go it down." He kept praying, and then he just backed off, looked at me, and smiled. And I was the only one. I don't know if I should be bragging on that. But I have an attitude. How many know it's real? And God is quite capable of being God without us having to play the role. And I say that when it comes to worship, Jesus wanted worship to be real. And that's why he said, "Why do you draw nigh to me with your mouth, but your hearts are far from me?" And he's putting us into a state of mind to, come on, let's be real about this. And so I remember, now do I love worshiping God and open to the Spirit? Yes, I do. And I want everything God has from me. I just wanted God and not man. And I remember one night I was in, before we went to pastor in White Salmon, we lived over in Hood River a few months before we were able to move across the river where church was. And one night I went out praying. And I it was about 12 o'clock. And it was on Main Street, but there's nobody out. And I remember I got in between two buildings. There was an alley about 8 feet. And I was just enjoying the presence of God and worshiping God. And nobody was out, but I got in between those two buildings. And I was just having me a time. And I was just worshiping and crying and praising and talking in tongues and just worshiping the Lord. And when I got done, I'm coming back and there's a police car with his light, and there's an officer looking at me, and he wanted to know who I was, and I said, Dennis Connor. He said, you have any identification? I said, no, I don't. Well, what are you doing? He said, who's back there? And he kind of walked back to see if anyone was back. I said, there's nobody back there, just God. And I said, sir, and he said, well, you don't have no identification. No, sir, I don't. I'm a new pastor. I didn't think I needed it. And he called in, and that Sunday, there was a little lady in my church said, pastor, I heard you on the police scanner. And what are you doing out at 12 o'clock at night? And I said, I was out praying, Judy. She said, I know. She said, you should have heard what he said when he called it in. So what did he say? He said, well, he said, I got somebody. So I heard him talk, and then I didn't understand what he was saying. And he said, I believed him, but I'm going to let him go. There was somebody there. His name is Jesus. He's real. Now, you know we are commanded to praise the Lord. We're commanded to praise the Lord and to worship God just as much as we're commanded to go to church, just as much as we're commanded to tithe. And to love one another. And you may say, well, I'm not emotional. Well, get that way. You say, well, I don't have to feel him when I praise him. But do you know that the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. And after you do it enough, you'll begin to enjoy it and like it. You say, well, I'm timid. Well, that's all right. Go ahead and suck your thumb while you're worshiping him. But worship him. You say, well, I'm shy. Well, go hide in a corner then, but at least worship him and praise him. We're commanded to do it. Now, I want you to notice four things in the Psalms that David expresses about praise and worship of the Lord. And by the way, did you know that the older David got, the more he praised the Lord? He said one time, I will praise him more and more. And that means he increased in his praising the Lord. Are you praising him more and more? David said, first thing I want you to notice is, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Four things. Extol. What's it mean to extol? To extol means to lift him up so everybody can see him. It means as you lift him up, you're actually saying, here's my God. I want everybody to see my God. You ever see at the end of a good football game, they'll carry maybe someone who won the game or the coach, and they'll put him on their shoulders, and they want everybody to see this one. And that's what it means to extol our God. I want everybody to see him and know about him, and you lift him up that way. David said, I will extol my God. I'm going to show him off, and I'm going to lift him higher. Second thing I want you to see about David's praise and worship, he said, I will bless thee. That means I will do something for him. It means, Lord, I love you so much, I'm going to serve you. You know how you bless people. Well, you bless God. That means you do something for him. Third thing, David said, I will praise thee. That means you're going to brag on him. You're just going to brag on him. Do you brag on him? How many got a grandkid? How many know where I'm going? You brag on that grandkid. You act like he's just the smartest kid in all the world. I mean, you get excited when he walks. We just got a good report. Julian finally got out of diapers. I mean, they were shouting and praising when he quit the number one. And then when he did quit the number two, they really shouted. Well, I'm not saying you brag on God in that degree, but you brag on him. You praise him. You know how many good things? How many know God's been good to us? He's been good to us. He daily loads us up with benefits. So extol means to tell somebody how good he is by lifting him up. To bless him means to serve him for how good he is. And to praise him is to personally tell him how good he is. I will praise thee. Now notice he didn't say we. He said I will. You know, one thing that can ruin your Christian life or hurt it is when you let public worship take the place of private worship. Your private worship ought to be greater than your public worship. And do you know your truest praise is the praise that you give alone when you're all alone, whether it be in your closet or wherever it is. The happiest praise you will ever offer is the praise when you're alone. David said, I will. Without someone there to support you, without someone there to encourage you. You know, people can get lost in the crowd. And do you know the most meaningful prayers you will ever pray are not prayers in public. They're prayers when you're alone. The most meaningful worship and praise you will ever give to God is when you are alone. Now, both are needed. And we must not let one take the place of the other. Second thing in our scripture I want you to see about praise in this. Good night, nurse. We just baptized the carpet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Joe. Come tell us how terrible it is. I want you to know that praise and worship is to be a definite thing that you determine in your life. I want you to notice David says four times, I will praise him. I will praise him. I will praise him. I'm going to praise him. It was a determined. David was determined. It wasn't going to be, well, if the mood comes on him or if it's a fleeting moment. He was making up his mind before the day even came that I was going to praise him. I will praise him if it's hot. I'm going to praise him if it's cold. How many have praised him when it's been hot? I praise him when it's hot, Pastor, after I complain about how hot it is, and then I praise him. I'll praise him if the air conditioner is working, and I'll praise him if it's broken. I'll praise him if the temperature is what I like in the church, and I'll praise him if it's not what I like. I'm going to praise him if it's a sunshiny day, and I'm going to praise him if it's not a sunshiny day. I was marrying a couple one time, and I remember as they were standing in front, I said, do you, Mr. John Doe, wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her and comfort her and keep her in sickness and in health and forsaking all others? Will you keep thee only under her so long as you both shall live? He said, I will. Then I looked at her, because these are will questions. These are not do questions. We're addressing your will, not your doing. We get your will in line, we'll get your doing. Then I turned to the woman and I said, wilt thou, Mary Smith, wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband to live together after God's ordinance? In the holy estate of matrimony, wilt thou obey him? You know how many, I've had women come up and say, I ain't going to have that in my wedding. I said, well, then what are you coming to a Christian pastor for? Don't get me started on that one. Wilt thou obey him and serve him and love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health and forsaking all others? Keep thee only unto him so long as you both shall live. Wilt thou? And I remember one wedding, this woman said, I will. Oh, I will. And you know that's the way David said, I'm going to praise him. He said, I will. That kind of praise is getting more scarce. Not much of that kind of praise is being encouraged, but it ought to be. I'm not talking about a demonstration that you make before people. We had a man in our church in White Salmon named Brother Brown. He was a missionary. I knew before he came, when he got home, that he would run the aisles and he'd shout through the whole sermon, Hallelujah! Glory to God, Hallelujah! We just loved him. That was him. If he'd have just done it there, nowhere else, then it might, but that was the way he was. And so he did. But I'm talking about a heart that you have for God that's overflowing, that says, thank God, Lord, I do love you, I do worship you. You've been so good to me. How many know he's been good to you? He has been so good to you. But there's a fourth thing in this Psalms 145. It's an eternal praise. David said, I will praise him forever and ever. Verse 2 says, every day will I praise thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And he repeats at the end of the Psalms. Now that, thank God I've still got some water left. That is a man that knows he's going to heaven. When you say, I will praise him forever and ever, that's a man that knows he's going to live forever and go into heaven. And what does it mean when the Bible says forever and ever, and I'm going to praise him forever and ever? It means as long as I'm on this earth, forever I will praise him. But it also means that when I die and I leave this physical body, and I leave this flesh, and as I'm going up, or if I'm changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, or if I go through the grave and I get a new body where corruption takes on incorruption and mortality takes on immortality, David says, as long as I have breath in this body or my new body, I am going to praise him forever and ever and ever and ever. Job said, in this flesh I will see God. I love reading of old wonderful saints that had great testimonies, but one of my favorite, let me wrap this up, about an old coal miner. He wasn't a preacher, but he wasn't a layman. He was kind of in between. And his name was Billy Bray. He was like Brother Brown. He just shouted and praised God wherever he went. But the story I love that I read about him was when he was dying, people went to gather around his bed, knowing he didn't have long. And there Billy Bray was saying, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. And then someone said to Billy, you're dying. Billy, you're dying. Hallelujah, praise God, I'm dying. They said, well, why are you shouting on your deathbed? He said, because I'm going to be with Jesus pretty soon. Hallelujah, glory to God. They said, well, Billy, what if you're wrong? What if you've deceived yourself? What if all these years you end up in hell? What a dumb thing to say to somebody before they're dying. And you know what Billy Bray said? He said, well, I'm going to be one born again fella in hell. And in hell, I'm going to say, glory to God, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And I'll get to witness to all them sinners down there. Glory to God, hallelujah. And he said, you know, if the devil comes up to me and he says, what are you shouting about? I'm going to tell him it's because I'm saved, glory to God. And the devil's going to say, well, we don't like shouting like that down there. And I'll just say to him, well, then I'd prefer to have a transfer if you don't mind. And he's going to say, I'm going to shout all my way to heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, how long has it been since you got alone with God and just worshiped him and praised him? We had a man in our church who was blind. And church we pioneered, I mean, he was totally blind, Bill Rickett. And one night during just My wife trying to bang out a song best she could. How many know it must come from your heart? If you can't worship God with Debbie playing, I mean you really are backslidden. But he got to worshiping the Lord. It was some over ditty song. It was, if I recall, it was, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. And he started crying. And we noticed that, you know, praise the Lord, Bill Ricketts getting into this. And we just thought, you know, we should just keep singing. How many know it wasn't the song, it was the heart? And you know that he took off talking in tongues, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And that's why Jesus said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. That's how I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got it through worship. I was at the altar and I didn't know what to do. But I felt the Lord tell me, why don't you just tell me you love me? And I remember, I'm not trying to give a formula, but I'm telling you, worship will bless you no matter what the results will be. And I remember just saying, I love you, Lord. Next thing I remember, I was talking a language I did not know. But it was not the language, it was what came down inside that I felt that was from out of this world. I've never experienced it since, but it was real. God is so real. I saw a man playing basketball the other day at the basketball court. He had a prosthetic leg. And I just thought, God, thank you for two legs. Thank you for my eyes. Every now and then I'll reach up and I'll close my eyes and remember what it was like when I was blind for a year. And the first time I opened them and they took the bandage off and I saw a bird with a leaf in his mouth. And I broke down and started worshiping God. I didn't care if the doctor was there. I turned into a Billy Bray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And then the worship stopped when I saw how many wrinkles I had. Then it started back up again. Said, I'll be glad for my wrinkles. I want you to know you'll do yourself what you were intended to do and what God made you to do. And that was for His pleasure. And that is to bring Him glory. And that's to worship God. You know, it's not Thanksgiving, but we ought to be thankful. It's not Christmas, but we still ought to be in a giving mood. It's not Easter, but we still should be shouting about the resurrection. He's risen from the dead. It's not Memorial Day, but we ought to have a heart that remembers all those that have died for us to have freedom in our country and those that have died in the faith. It's not Labor Day, but we ought to remember those that our labor is not in vain. And I could go on all the holidays. And in fact, it's not Pastor's Week. It ought to be every week, but I'm trying to say we shouldn't wait for a holiday to spur us to worship God. We ought to worship God every day. David said, I will. Would you stand? Now you can worship God. One generation shall praise thee, thy works to another. You know when he said later, he says that God opens his hand and satisfies every living thing. I looked up how many living things there are. 30 million. Of course, that's including a lot of insects and bugs. But at least 10 million were animals. You know, they all wait on God for Him to provide their meat. It's a good thing to praise the Lord and to worship Him. It's a lot better than complaining and murmuring. He destroyed 180,000 people in the new promised land because they murmured. How many know you can drive down the road and find a million things to gripe about? You can also drive down that same road and find 10 million things why you should be praising and worshiping God. Let's just thank Him now. Father, we do thank You. We do thank You, Lord. We do praise You. Oh God, thank You for the season. Nothing great happens except, Lord, it happens through worship and praise. in spirit and in truth. May we love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. If you're here and you're thinking, you know, I really don't know what God's doing in my life right now, I want you to praise Him anyway and worship Him. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to praise you and worship you. You'll be praising Him down the road. He may declare it. But it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The altars are open. I'm going to invite you to find a place to pray and worship and thank God. For those of you that must go, which I really doubt it, you may go. But let's find a place to worship God, love God, tell Him how much we love Him. And that's why you were created. Praise the Lord. Do you know that Brother Skip Kincaid said to me Friday night when he called? He said, "Brother Connor, there was a girl that was healed in my meeting last week that was deaf all her life. Never heard anything. She knew sign language, but he said she'd been saved for a week. And when I got there, I prayed for her. I just, Lord Jesus, would you heal this girl?" He said, "That's what I prayed, Brother Connor." And he said, "You know that her ears opened up and she began to cry. Now, she didn't know how to talk, but she wanted to know how to say, 'I love you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus.' And so she's signaling that, and they said, 'Say, I love you, Jesus.' And she said, 'I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.'" How many know it's real? Let's love Him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.